Blog Talk Radio.
Power, power in the people. 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 We gon' fight, we gon' shout for our rights without a doubt. We gon' live, we gon' sing, we gon' rise and do our thing. We gon' stand and join hands, united as one, we're in demand. Hear our voice, young and old, fight the lies, let the truth be told.
Power, power in the people. Power.
Yo, yo, it's the Bill, 720, we're in the building. What's up, Rex?
Not much, how are you doing, man?
You know, it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful Sunday. We're up, you know, another day to appreciate one another, another day to talk and live and learn and become enlightened. How you doing, bro?
Sounds good. It's been a chill weekend. It's a little overcast, but out here, I'm not going to complain. We usually have it pretty sunny, so outcast is a good team to take. Or overcast. I said out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think sometimes us as non-white people, especially black people, are outcasts. So
yeah.
It might have been an unquote or quote unquote Freudian slip.
That's true.
But yeah, it is overcast outside.
Yeah.
All right, man. So today I think we're gonna get it in and talk about violence, especially here in America. But first, before we go and we talk about violence in America, I guess let's talk about violence in Africa, especially how some tribes or nations treated each other at one point in ancient African history. According to Chancellor Williams, overall, according to Chancellor Williams in his book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, when there was war between the two parties, it was always both parties, the last thing that they wanted to do was fight against each other, right? Mostly it was the scare tactics, yelling, screaming, trying to intimidate that way instead of outright just war. I mean, even though, you know, that did come about every once in a while, but for the most part, it was a matter of just trying to scare one another.
Right. It sounds like they value life a lot more than, you know, like the types of war that America wages, where, you know, there's always collateral damage, as they call it, which is loss of life. And it sounds like, you know, more civil how it was kind of back in, you know, Africa.
Right. So, you know, I mean, bring it up to today in America and how Americans think overall. I mean, we live in a very, very violent society. And I don't think some people really understand how violent our society is. I mean, let's not even go into guns right now, which will we talk about, which we will talk about guns, but let's go into just sports. I mean, one of the most popular sports, American football, is a very violent sport, man. I mean, very violent. I mean, we're talking about a game where you can literally step out on the field and you can come off the field not only bruised, and most people are, you know, most players are bruised after coming off the field in practice, but especially in game. And then, or on top of that, you know, I mean, you have a higher chance, man, of, you know, getting your back busted, your knees busted, you know, broken bones, even the possibility of death. And we cheer for it every Sunday, you know, and that's like going back to the days of the Roman gladiator.
Right.
Except. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, except.
No, I was going to say, except, you know, we don't have, in this particular case, knives and shields.
Right.
So I'm sorry, you want to say something?
All I was going to say is that I think that that whole mentality has basically, you know, permeated throughout history. And so it's just something that's in us. You know, we want to see this kind of gladiatorial showdown, or we want to be entertained. I think that's the quote from Gladiator. It's like, do you not want to be entertained, or something like that? And with American football, you know, I'm a big football fan, and you know, at the different levels, you know, you have the high school level, you have the collegiate level, you have, you know, the pro level. I think that it's just really important that steps be taken to look at the safety of football, because not that you can make it completely safe. But one place where you can start is to make sure that whoever is playing, you know, is very fit, and make sure that, you know, you have these certain rules where you can't, you know, possibly, or not can't, but I don't want it that absolute, but you try to make it as safe as possible for the players. That's what I'm trying to say. And there should really be more more investigating of, you know, how the uniforms and, you know, helmets included, of course, how all of that stuff is working, because sometimes that stuff never gets changed. It's like 30 years and it's like they're wearing the same helmets. That's got to be impossible, because, you know, people get bigger. It's a whole lot of stuff, but yes, at the core root of it, it is a very violent game.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things also, man, when you look into it in terms of violence, as well as when we look into media, well, especially TV and film. I mean, what are your thoughts in terms of TV and film? Do you think TV and film has gotten more violent over the years?
Oh, definitely. We have become less, what is it called? We've become desensitized to violence because we see it so much. You know, whenever you see it in TV, whenever you see it in film, you know that that's play acting. But what it's doing is desensitizing us to the real world, because when it happens in the real real world, I believe that, you know, it's harder for us to distinguish between, oh, we should feel empathy or sympathy for this person in the real world because they're really going through something, versus seeing it in a movie where it's like, oh, that's just a character, they just made that up. But, you know, it's all interconnected, and that's the piece, or that's the thing that, you know, sometimes our minds can't separate, or at least not quickly.
Right. And, I mean, when we think about media, and even in music, especially with, you know, some of these rappers, and the popularity of NWA at that time, mm-hmm. I thought that they had a pretty positive message. I shouldn't necessarily say positive. I should probably say more of what they felt was their reality at that particular mm-hmm. time.
Right.
And part of what they felt their reality was violent. Unfortunately, right. They carried a very misogynic attitude as well, or chauvinistic attitude that came along with it. And, you know, it really then started to put, I mean, it wasn't just like, okay, you know, as they had the song, one of the songs, you know, F the police or whatever, and we have a target, you know, that we need to go against. But no, it was like, oh no, I'm going to shoot not only the police to defend myself, I am going to shoot my fellow brother.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. He's looking at me crazy. Drug selling, got an issue with my girl, et cetera, et cetera. So what are your thoughts, man, especially in hip-hop, especially in the coming of age, the introduction of hip-hop as a culture? What do you think? Do you think that groups like NWA, or let me put it a little different, do you think that hip hop in modern times is portrayed a lot more violent than it did, say, pre NWA?
I mean, I personally think that somewhere hip hop and rap all became one, and I think that's a bit of laziness on the media's part, but I also think it's a bit of genius on whoever's trying to sell this stuff, you know, to our young, because, you know, it was something that was being felt in a certain part of the country until other people were like, you know, the police treats us like that too. So, you know, it is something that permeates. It's something that crossed all across the United States. So it was definitely a message that needed to get out there. And, you know, as far as NWA, anybody who is a creative artist, those guys are creative artists. So they have every right to, you know, say whatever they want to say and in the way that they want to say it, because, you know, as artists, that is the right that they have. Now, taking it a bit further, I do think that artists also have a certain amount of responsibility. So if something that you say gets out there and it's not the way in which you want to say it, I think that you need to go in and try to correct that. But with rap and hip hop, you know, this big music scene, it's just kind of like the music blew up, money was started to exchange hands, and people just forgot about the message. It was just more of, hey, let's put more of this out into the streets and out into the minds of our young. And I don't think anyone was thinking about it long term. I think it was just kind of, you know, it was a financial boom. It was popular. Let's do this sort of thing. So, you know, then when there was some positive rap and hip hop coming out, that was kind of lost. You know, that was kind of put down. I mean, the whole basis, it seems, for any type of rap is you have a battle. You know, it's like playing the dozens or whatever. And in our African American culture, we understand playing the dozens. But then when you let other people in, or you have other people try to interpret, you know, what it is, I think then it gets lost in translation.
I mean, let's go back to a song called The Message by Grandmaster Flash, you know, that predated NWA. And, you know, I mean, he was talking about what was going on at that time and was going on in America in the so, quote-unquote, ghetto, quote-unquote, hood, which, by the way, you know, Black people, per se, didn't make up ghettos and hood. And oftentimes, I hear people say, oh, that was ghetto, or that was, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes, you know, Black people get stereotyped about living in these ghettos. But once again, Black people didn't make up ghettos. We have to go back to a time when we didn't have ghettos, man. We had civilizations, right? So we got to start changing our mind state. We got to start changing our vocabulary. Because, yes, well, some of us... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you're absolutely right about that. And we also have to start addressing when people use words like ghetto. I mean, personally, I'm not doing it to be provocative to people. I just want to know what they mean. Like, if they go, oh, that's so ghetto, I go, what do you mean by that? And most of the time, you know, it's a person not, you know, that's not of color. And they have a very hard time trying to backpedal, because sometimes even they don't know what it means. They just kind of use it because it's vernacular. It's in, you know, everybody's everyday speech or whatever. And we, as African Americans, if we feel offended by it, or if we want clarification, we should just ask.
Very good point. Very good point. I mean, we should just know. Like,
right.
Why are you saying that? Why are you saying, oh, man, that was ghetto. Okay.
Right.
Why are you saying that's ghetto? What's the definition of ghetto?
Right.
At that particular point, what you did or what somebody else did, how is that determined as ghetto? So, yeah, we definitely have to, once again, try to go back, try to read as much as we possibly can. Once again, I'll probably reference the destruction of Black civilization a lot throughout our conversations, but you know, we really need to understand history, and according to our scholars and what our scholars say and what they studied when they went back to Africa and did their due diligence to say, okay, what was the real story? How did we see life? How do we see culture? Did you ever have a chance to see any of the clips on the San or the San people?
No, I don't believe I did.
Okay, yeah, man. I might have sent you some clips if I didn't. I also recommend everybody who's listening to go check out the San people. If you haven't seen the movie called Gods Must Be Crazy, I believe they're the village that is represented in that movie. They have a click sound in their language. But it's very interesting because I'm just going to be honest. I saw some white dudes on YouTube going hunting with their guns, acting tough, you know, shooting quote-unquote game. with their guns. And, you know, they had pictures up killing bears, killing deers, rabbits, birds, ducks, geese. And I said to myself, let's see if these same people can do what the San people are still doing. We're talking about a people, if they do hunt, they hunt still with bows and arrows for their food. They track their prey for miles and miles. All right. And when I noticed that when they do it, they only would take another animal's life for the purposes of food and nutrients to take back to their village. And from my understanding, the indigenous people of the Americas did the same. And as a matter of fact, I saw a picture of a whole bunch of buffalo, and this white dude was standing on top of a whole, like a mound of buffaloes, man. I mean, it was in the hundreds. I don't know. I mean, I think people should probably Google it to check it out. It was crazy. I was like, man, what's the mentality? Or I should say, what kind of mentality is that to just kill for the thought of killing and not necessarily for, okay, I need to do this out of survival? Because let's think about it. What if the roles were reversed? What if they were the ones being hunted?
You know, that's a funny thing to say that, because they have a show that's coming on now. I can't remember the author, but it's called Zoo. And it's basically where the animals become hyper aware, so they become predatorial toward humans.
Interesting. When's it supposed to be coming out?
Oh, James Patterson. I think that's who the author is. And I think it's coming either this summer or maybe in the fall. I can't remember. I just saw a preview for it.
Oh, and you said it's a book or it's a TV show?
Well, it's a television show that's based on a book.
Is it do you know if it's going to come on cable or network?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
That's an easy Google, though. James Patterson Zoo on TV.
All right, you heard that, everyone. This is The Build, 720. Calling number is 516-666-9835. There is 6 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, Moya, to answer the question about why someone would kill that amount of buffalo or kill whatever amount of anything, and they don't really need it. There's something in there, I guess, about how they value, you know, that particular animal's life. You know, feeling that they have to have more, or I don't know. I don't even know if I come up with a valid enough explanation, because I definitely can't come up with a reason for it. But I think that it's a good segue into the violence that's been going on lately, though, taking up life.
Are you talking about specifically the latest event in Charleston?
Well, I'm talking about that, and then I'm talking about all of the previous times that, you know, cops have killed African-American males for no reason. Just, you know, that sort of violence that goes on because the African-American male's life doesn't seem to be of that much value to anything.
Very interesting that you say that. I mean, yeah, I mean, we see brothers incarcerated by the millions. I think it might be close to a million now, the last statistic that I've seen. And it's really unfortunate. I mean, we'll probably get into that, you know, at another time in terms of the prison system.
Right.
Dedicate a whole show to that. But yeah, man, in terms of violence, in particular with black males, it's like, you know, we can't just go around just being us. It's like we have to literally walk on eggshells or have, you know, a code of conduct. Did you ever see the clip? And I can't remember the name of that young sister down in Texas when the cop pinned her down and slammed her down on the ground.
Yeah, the pool party. The pool party.
Yeah, the pool party incident.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very interesting, you know, scenario and situation. Some would say that, well, the kid shouldn't have been there. You know, it really doesn't matter, you know, in terms of once the cop got there. Because once the cop got there, as a matter of fact, if anyone watched the video, he predominantly went after all the black children there, the teenagers. He didn't go after everyone. He didn't say, okay, everybody calm down. I mean, even the young white, you know, teenager said, hey, I was filming and he didn't come after me. He was going after every single black child there. Now, there were, if I recall correctly, there were two other cops there and two white cops, and they weren't doing that. So, you know, this is definitely, even though it was racism at its finest, you can definitely tell that this cop was out of line. And there were two cops there who I believe that were white that were assisting. That me personally, I think they probably should have just calmed old boy down and said, look, dude, you got to calm down because there's nothing popping off around here. Nobody's shooting at us. Yeah, they may be talking back to us in a way, but honestly, they have every right to be out on this street than anybody else does. In this street,
they also have a right to speak their minds. I mean, disrespect versus, you know, whatever they're saying, they still have a right to say it. And that's just something that cops have to, they just have to deal with, and they have to deal with it better. I think this guy just had this complex where he was like, I have to assert my authority. And I think that he may have even been the supervisor to the other cops. That's what I was gathering when I was reading things. So, you know, I don't think they felt that they could say anything to him. But he was definitely out of line. And, you know, I mean, that's really all I can say. Way out of line.
Well, we have about 30 seconds now. This is the Bill 720. You have anything else to say, bro?
No, I just, you know, violence is such a broad topic. It's probably one that we have to come back to also.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely will, man.
Yeah.
We definitely will. So, yeah, I just want everybody to think about the times before, you know, when we interacted with each other in a more civil way. And so once we kind of think about that, hopefully we can understand where we need to go with a gun or without a gun. All right, this is the Build 720. Take care, and we're out. Peace.